Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This week coming up, we celebrate the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Number two, is your heart wide open for God? Check. Number three, is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, my friends, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 23 through chapter 9, verse 3. And here it is. First the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the end he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing, dispelled in darkness, for there is no gloom where now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and a great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the Word of God today from the prophet Isaiah, we're given a great message about the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. And for those out there who are listening today, if you are walking in darkness, and you need to make that transition into the light, then you, my friend, need our Lord Jesus Christ, who shines his light brightly within us, who calls us to be a light to all nations. But there are those who are in darkness because of depression, because of incarceration, because of substance abuse, alcoholism, all kinds of things where people are walking in darkness rather than light, and they need to make changes. What's the number one change you need to make? What is it, my friends? This week we celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, who was a man who did extraordinary things with God's help. Given the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, when he helped to end segregation, which had existed for many, many years. A thing truly that needed to end as soon as possible. And he brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing when that day occurred. And he was killed for the cause. He was a martyr, as many people disagreed with him, but not before ending segregation. So today we take our hats off to Martin Luther King Jr. and for those who walked with him, who are still here today, those who participated, who were a voice for freedom, truly, against segregation, a voice for goodness, as Martin Luther King Jr. was a voice for goodness. Rooted in the Word of God, a Baptist minister, he did great work with God's help, as the Word of God was on the tip of his tongue at all times, and it's powerful. And he said many things. He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And when we see injustices in our walk, are you and I, my friends, trying to bring justice to that situation? Or do we just walk by, allow it to be, because it doesn't affect me personally? Are we following in his footsteps to be a voice for goodness, to bring people truly out of unjust situations, similar to segregation, unfair situations? And I know in doing prison ministry for almost 30 years, we've seen, you know, many men who were locked up unfairly, who were innocent. And by far, the people inside are guilty of crimes. But there are those who were innocent and still put into a prison cell. And so, again, the Word of God says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Hence, we have a program here at Holy Spirit Radio called Finding God in Prison. Because when you find that great light, things change in your life. We go from negative to positive. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. So, for those who have that attitude of gloomy, that negative mindset, things are not going very well year after year after year. With the Lord's help, we can change that and go positive. And it's important so that we can get abundant joy and rejoice greatly, as the joy of the Lord will change our hearts, our minds, our lives. It will change the life of our children. Again, going from negative to positive. With the Lord's help, we too can be a light to all nations, a light to all people, bringing the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people. So today we get a great message from the prophet Isaiah, that when we are in need of light, when things look gloomy, very dark, with God's help, we can get to the other side and overcome any obstacle, any burden, any hurdle with God's help. And I know as a pilot, very often when we are flying in or around thunderstorms, dark, rainy skies, just above those clouds, the sun is out or the moon is out, and it's clear skies, clear sailing. There's always a good out of the bad, and that's what God is all about. Out of the crucifixion comes the resurrection, and it's powerful. From darkness to light. It's a beautiful thing to see the power of God to bring, to get rid of the darkness and to bring the light right in. That's God's power. You and I can't do it, but he can. And he can do it for us if we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And at this moment, I pray through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary for you and I to be elevated to a higher level and to be brought into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, to be given that light, to no longer be gloom and doom, that the cup is half empty, because the cup is half full, because we have the Lord, and he gives us all that we need in life. Not always what we want, but all that we need in the necessities of life. That is what our Lord does for us. And he is there for you and for me at all times. Never forget it, my friends. Let's go to our second reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 13 and 17. And here it is. From St. Paul to the Corinthians, my friends, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from St. Paul, the great persecutor of the church converted by Jesus himself, blinded for 72 hours, and then given his eyesight back, St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, tells us today, he says, I urge you, I encourage you, my friends, I urge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you all agree in what you say, that there be no division among you, but that you be united in the same mind and same purpose. And so, as Christians, as Catholics, are we united or are we divided? There has always been division amongst people, differences of opinion, differences and disagreements on how to do things, non-standard procedures. Isn't it time that we raise the standard within the church, within our families, within our communities, within our government, and unite in one way of doing things, God's way? In the eyes of God, are we united or are we divided? Think about it. First and foremost, in your own circle, in your own marriage, your own home with your children, are we united or are we divided? How can we get together? And it all begins truly with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Are we united on that point? As Christians around the world, do we believe that Jesus was born, was the greatest gift that we were ever given by our Father in heaven? And that he lived for 33 years And the last 3 years were his ministry, performing miracles before he died on the cross and then rose from the dead 3 days later. Do we believe? Are we united in that fact, which is stated in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which has been given to us as a gift, giving us access to eternal life, that God died for us to save us from our sins, given us salvation? Do we believe in that? Are we united, or do we have differences of opinion? Because St. Paul says that there are rivalries among you. Okay? That I belong to Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Who is it that you belong to, my friends? Today we have a lot of diversity in our society around the world. We have people who believe in Christ and people who don't believe in Christ. We have people who believe that Jesus was a prophet and not the Son of God. We have people who don't want to hear about the Word of God, who are working today to remove the Word of God, to remove the Ten Commandments, the morals, the family values, the ethics, and biblical principles that God has put forth for us in the Word of God, which has existed for 2,000 years. What is it, my friends, that you and I believe? Are we united or are we divided? It's important that we get the answer to that so that we can start working on standardizing ourselves, being a uniform, you know, model for our children, giving them the same answer versus different answers. This is important, and we have information available to us in the Word of God. And the Word says that we shouldn't change not even one word or add to the Word of God by one word, which has been given to us by our Father in heaven. And we know, my friends, that there are people in our own families who are non-believers in action. They may say that they believe, but their actions prove otherwise. So are we united or are we divided? Let's get specific. Are we united on the abortion issue, where we are against abortion, against the destruction of life? Are we united on traditional marriage and family life between one man and one woman? Or are we divided and accepting of same-sex marriage between two men or two women? Where do you stand on these issues? Are we united or divided on the issues of life, which include the death penalty or embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research, euthanasia? Where do you stand on the life issues? Are they important to you, or are they not important because they don't affect you and I? I want you to think about this, my friends. God calls us to be a voice for these issues which are important in the eyes of God. Not in my eyes so much as the eyes of God. He sets the standard. We follow his lead. He's our role model. We're not looking to a ball player as the role model. We're looking above that, to the ball players who look up to God themselves. This is important, my friends. But St. Paul says it correctly when he asks us to be united in the same mind and the same purpose. So we have the purpose of abortion, partial birth abortion, embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research, euthanasia, the death penalty, same-sex marriage versus traditional marriage and family life. He calls us to the same purpose and the same mindset. And we have work to do. The mindset requires education. It requires all of us to be elevated, to be enlightened, to be taught by the best teachers, which includes the Word of God, those drawing from the well, the infinite well, the Word of God, the sword, which teaches us so much. Are you and I opening the Word of God, my friends? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. Jeremiah 1:5. The book of Genesis, a man shall leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh. These are important phrases, important terminology, vocabulary, important passages that set the standard for our culture around the world as human beings fostering great family life in the eyes of God. Not so much my eyes or your eyes, but in the eyes of God, are we living the right standards? Or do we compromise it? Do we lower the standard? Where do you stand on those? I challenge you in this new year, 2023, to elevate yourself, your way of thinking, the purposes that you stand up for, and to be the best voice that you can for the issues, the morals, the values, the ethics, and biblical principles that God has called us to defend, to protect, and to educate others on and about. This, my friends, is important. Let's go to our gospel reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. And here it is. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord tells us this: "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." What does that mean to you and I, my friends? Are you and I striving to help men to change their ways, their behavior, to embrace God's ways of doing things, to change their lives? Come after me and I will make you fishers of men. And this is important, my friends, especially for those who have children. God calls us to fatherhood. He calls us to parenthood. He calls us to grandparenthood. And wherever we can go and help men to make changes, to be a fisher of men is to help men to truly get on board with our Lord's way of doing things, to develop a relationship with Jesus. We are all sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, brothers and sisters in Christ. The work that needs to be done in the world is great. It's infinite. More than 7 billion people in the world. Great work to be done to embrace Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says this: before the end time comes, every knee shall bend and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is where we're going. And to get that done, we have to be fishers of men. With a loving touch, a kind heart, a good word, lifting people up with greater generosity, greater compassion, understanding, more patience. God calls us to be fishers of men. And we have to extend ourselves to do more. If you have a heart to do more, God is calling you to be a fisher of men, to lift others up, to bring them to Him so that they can have access to eternal life. No one comes to the Father except through me, says our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to get to the Lord before we can get home to the Father. And that message must go to the ends of the earth. He wants us to be a light to all nations, a light to all people, to the ends of the earth. And your light and my life should shine brightly, touching the heart and the mind of all we come in contact with. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.